A couple things I just say as far as we're going to talk today on this Every Person series. It's a short series. Make sure you listen last week if you hadn't. It's kind of starts out everything as far as the area of compassion and justice, getting it more defined. And then we're going to focus on two particular areas. This week we're going to focus on CAC and the kids, and really how God sees children. And we're going to do that through just having stories. Trust me, you'll learn a lot more through these stories than you will from my teaching. So you're in good shape today. So what we want to do is just start with a couple things that I think that are essential in understanding this. For some reason, it's not clicking all the way. There we go. This is a story that most of us are familiar with, but it just never gets old. People were bringing the children to Jesus to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And he took the children into his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. And as we look at that, what we see is this is common. Jesus is always seeing who we don't see as being much more important than we put him in our minds. And he spots these people. He loves all of us. He loves me. He loves you. But he has, if you're a kid, you're at an advantage. He loves kids. He loves the poor. He loves the people who are often even overlooked. He loves them in a special way because they're at a vulnerable spot, and we have a choice to choose to welcome them or push them away. And it's true with our own kids here in our children's program and in Kids Zone. It's a spot we can just not see them. But when we see with God's eyes, we see kids because then we have this power to be able to bless them and take them in, or we push them away. And we want to be a church that understands and sees kids, right? All our kids. And then we look at this, and there's this other kind of shocking verse where Jesus says, "Anyone who welcomes one such child," speaking of his children, "in my name welcomes me." So again, remember we talked about last week about if you're sick and hungry and then you welcome Jesus, it's the same way with children. When we welcome and we come in and we see children for how God sees them and we open our heart to them, God blesses us. It's like it's ministry directly to God. And it says, "Anyone who causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." That's what you call indignant. I mean, he's saying it's serious. Don't mess with my kids, right? And that's what he's saying. And so in this spot is, I would say that as we're talking today, we're going to be talking, the whole service, we're just going to be talking about things that are going on in Christian Activity Center, East St. Louis. And in this, God's going to, I think, communicate lots to us. But really, if you want to summarize it, we're given the responsibility with kids to direct them and not have anything stumble them, right? And when we stumble kids, God takes it real seriously. And we're to welcome them and direct them and lead them. And we don't take that responsibility. God's like, oh, because that's his special group, right? And so CAC, I would say, that would be how I would describe the heart of CAC. They welcome and see the kids all the way from 5 years old to 18 coming in, and they see them and they welcome them, and then they also try to take away the stumbling blocks and lead them. And so a few facts as far as it was CAC, Christian Activity Center, only 30 minutes from here, really quick. And as you go over there, a couple things you'll see kind of their facts. Like in their health care, look at statistics on body mass, is it body mass index, yeah. As far as a degree of health, where the CAC kids rank compared to the other kids in East St. Louis. And you might look at the next one where it talks about citywide teen pregnancy, making a huge impact. And this is really what we found. GPA, much higher. And here's the big thing. I just looked up recently on the last Illinois study of grade cards for different school districts. And in East St. Louis, only 5% would be considered college ready. And 13% will go to college, but 74% is the statistic with CAC. CAC is having this crazy, amazing effect, and they do have some pretty cool technology. They have computer labs. They got lots of great systems. But really what they have is they have people who see kids, who come into the world with their world, and they begin loving on these kids. And because of it, and they have the message of Jesus in their heart, and it's affecting this in a huge way. A few pictures I'll just show you. Kind of, there's lots of cool stuff going on. This gal beat me at chess. This gal was just a joy. We had a little dance program before the class started. And the one gal on the right just got back. They have a martial arts program, and she just won an award there, and she's talking about that. They have a great playground across the street, which used to be a brothel that they bought. God has an amazing story with that. And they have a great gym going on, a lot of activities going on. They do lots of health care. There's Matt trying to keep control, and he's teaching a class when I was there. This guy here was like, he was like on chess. He didn't beat me. He would like, no. And he would begin explaining it to me, and then he'd begin saying, and so he'd say, like, I could do checkmate right now, but I won't, but here's what you can do. And so I don't know anything about chess, so it's not like he was that much better than me. I just don't know anything about chess. They have an amazing chess club. And they're just great. The kids are just amazing. They do music. They do lots of different things. But this is the guy that we're going to be talking to today. This is Matt. Hannah wouldn't be able to make it today. She had some stuff going on in her own church. But Matt's going to come up, and we're going to do a little bit of interviewing with the kids. I just say Matt is, he's the chaplain at CAC. He's been there for about 3.5 years. And I would say what I love about Matt is I'm just inspired by him. But his heart is, he just loves the kids. He's passionate. He's humble. And I've noticed the people who work at CAC say, yeah, we're bringing Matt in. You know what they always say? I love Matt. that's a pretty good line. But I mean, I've heard it like 5 or 6 times. So I don't love you quite like that, but I love you, Matt. No. We're going to have Matt come on up, and we're going to have the kids come up, and we're just going to let you get a little taste of these amazing kids. And I'll let Matt run it. This is Matt. Let's all give him a hand. Excuse me, buddy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Vineyard has been instrumental in the CAC for many years, way longer than I've been there. And when I hear or have heard about the Vineyard, I assumed because of how much you guys did for the CAC that it was a church of at least 1,000, right? And so it's such a joy to come and see various churches that have a heart for the CAC and have had a heart for the CAC for a long time and to say, oh man, these are the people, right? And so we're so thankful for you all. So here we're going to start with introductions. So if you're going to say your name, your age, and your name, your grade, and your favorite color. Go.
My name is Viantre, and I'm 10 years old. I'm in the 4th grade, and my favorite color is blue.
Mm-hmm. My name is Jasmine, and I am 8 years old, and I'm in the 2nd grade, and my favorite color is pink.
My name is Terrell, and I'm in 1st grade, and I'm 6 years old, and my favorite color is gold.
My name is Payne, I'm 7 years old, I'm in 2nd grade.
All right, so on our way here, we were talking about these questions, and for some reason, Terrell, you had a hankering. You were really excited about a certain food, and what food was that?
Crab legs.
Maybe wants to take us to Red Lobster. We'll go with you. Crab legs. Real quick, we do a lot of things at the CAC. Peyton, if you could just share one of your favorite things to do at the CAC. What are one of your favorite things to do at the CAC?
Learn to read.
Learn to read. And what class is that?
Miss Stewart.
Mr. Stewart's, yeah. And could you tell me a book you guys have read recently? Do you remember of any books that you guys have been reading recently?
A guidebook.
A God book, yes. Yeah, good answer. All right. Next, Terrell is in Kids for Christ, and so we divide our kids. We have kids ages 5 to 18, and we're with them from 3:30 to 8. And so, Terrell, you're in our youngest age group, K through 1st, in Kids for Christ. And so one of the things they do is they have Kids for Christ time. And so what is one of your favorite songs in Kids for Christ?
Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus Loves Me. And we have prepared at least two other times to sing this for you. So everybody get down and let's get started. You guys ready? Jesus loves me.
Yes, I know.
For the Bible tells me so.
Little one to hear me low. There will be what he is so. Na 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 na. Hey, na 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 na.
Hey, na 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 na. Na 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 na. Yes,
Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes,
Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
All right, thank you, Terrell.
Jesus loves me, yes, I know.
So, Jasmine, here you go. Could you tell us, you've been around for several years now at the CAC, and could you tell us some of the favorite things you like showing people when you come into the CAC, or just what that looks like when someone new comes into the CAC?
My favorite thing to show them is the homework room, where we have this big picture of Jesus when he died on the cross and he has blood coming out of his face.
Okay.
To just know that he died for sins.
Mm-hmm. So Viantre and Jasmine are our brother and sister, and so Viantre is also one of our certified greeters. And so, Viantre, if you could tell us a little bit about what you do when you see a new face in the CAC. What do you do?
Hug them, open the door for them, and show them around.
Now, real quick, we have not done this yet, but Viantre doesn't just hug someone. All right, so Viantre, I want you to go down there. All right, Viantre, show them how you would hug a new visitor. Wait, go over there. And a new visitor comes in.
And what is your hug? Yeah,
that's it. So that's the hug. So if you're coming to the CAC, you better be ready. Be ready to get tackled. And so Viantre, you're a fourth grade young man, and why would you love people like that? What causes you to be so friendly and inviting?
Because of God gave me the love to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me see. Let me see what other questions we have. You got something to say? Answer the question that we've been talking about, hopefully. What's your favorite class?
Okay, my favorite class is Mrs. Stewart's class because we get to read about Black history, because this is the month for Black history. And as soon as we get done reading just one Black history book, we get on the computers. And sometimes if I want to read another book, he will let me read another Black history book, because Black history is something that God made, and Black people should have died for that.
Okay. So one of my favorite, we are in transition with staffing, and so I've been up there, and we've gotten to learn about Melba Liston, the famous trombonist in the 20s to 40s. We've learned about MLK. We've learned about Billy Traylor, one of the, a famous artist. We've learned about Phyllis Wheatley, a poet in the early beginnings of our country. And so it's just been really fun for me and also for the kids to learn about these amazing people. So if I could have Jasmine is going to open us up in prayer, and then Viantre is going to close us in prayer. Yep, yeah, again.
Okay. Heavenly
Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting Mr. Matt come to us and making us come to this year. But thank you for letting Mr. Matt just make us have a wonderful day. And all these people must be blessed because they came here for a reason. And we did too. And thank you for the food you just offered us. And thank you for Mr. Matt telling us that we should come because it's a good thing to do. Because this church was blessed with all their might. And we love this church from the bottom to the top. Thank God. Amen.
Dear God, I thank you for building the earth, building houses so we can live in, schools we can learn, cars, trucks, bikes, scooters that we can ride. And I hope everyone in this church have a blessed day. And love everyone, love others, and everyone in the world. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. If you guys want to go out the back, you know where to go.
Cool, cool.
Keeps you young.
Yeah. If I had half their energy, I'd be doing good. All right. Really great, great stuff. I wanted to just have Matt share a little about his life first off. Kind of tell us just a little bit about yourself. Let's start there.
Yeah, so I was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania, so those Office fans. and then home of the, yeah, Michael Scott and company. And so my dad did his Master's of Divinity there. We moved to Norwalk, Ohio, which is near Sandusky. And so those familiar with Cedar Point or Tommy Boy, that's home of that. And then in 2012 years ago, my dad took a head pastorate role in Quincy, Illinois, where I kind of grew up and did high school there. And then I went to Greenville College, now University, which is where I continued to grow in my first love, which was soccer. And that's kind of where I found my identity. That's where I found my worth. And so around my sophomore year of college, I realized that I can use the things I love to share the Savior I love. And so that was, even though I'm a pastor's kid, it was kind of a new idea for me to really realize the cost of discipleship, right? That you have to carry this cross and you have to die to self and you have to actually calculate what it means to follow Jesus. And that was kind of new to me. And so I went to school and graduated with an urban cross-cultural ministry degree. And if you know anything about Greenville, Illinois, it's a town of 7,000 people. And so I wanted to understand the city more. And so I was a part of a program for a year called Mission Year. And Mission Year is a year-long program where you're living in community and you're volunteering at various sites. And so it's really there where I saw things started to change for my heart, right? I started my job, I'm fairly extroverted, my job was to stamp envelopes and cut parking passes, like hundreds upon hundreds in a cubicle by myself. And so this was a Christian health clinic called Esperanza, which means hope. And it was there I really learned that we ought to mirror Christ's ways of serving people, right? And that was really good and hard for me. I was the gopher, and so the local Dunkin' Donuts was a regular for my coworkers. And it was in Philly where I stumbled upon Shaheem, the Dream Team Hightower. And this was an 18-year-old boy that had fallen through the cracks of the system, and it was homeless. And so we had about 5 months left. Shaheem needed a place to stay. Because of our program, we couldn't have guests in the house overnight. So he slept on our porch. And it was in this interaction with Shaheem and my six other housemates where I was really challenged on what I thought it meant to love and what it really meant to love, right? And so every morning we'd have our devotions, and Shaheen, the Dream Team Hightower, you'd wake up on our porch and you'd hear a, right? And everybody, every day it'd be like, who's going to take care of Shaheen today, right? Shaheen would be hungry, obviously, like all of us, and Shaheen would need some things, but the problem with Shaheen was that he didn't know how to clean up after himself, right? Small things like the toothpaste lid would be caked in toothpaste, and you know, like, oh, I don't want to use this anymore. And so that was a really hard time for us, where day after day, for a couple months, we had to figure out what it meant to love Shaheen, right? And so kind of in the end of our year commitment, my paradigm shifted. Because we told him, Shaheen, we're leaving. This porch is not going to be around forever, and we really want you to find a long-term solution, right? And I remember not hearing the knock, right? And I would be reading scripture, and I'd be praying, and all my soul, all my heart wanted was to hear the knock. And I had a Bible I lost. It's a thin line ESV black Bible I got in the winter of 2009. And Shaheen one day came into devotions, and he was so excited to read Ephesians that he ripped it out of my Bible accidentally, right? He's like 6'1", strong man, and he rips it out. And I remember having this Bible, right? And every time, your Ephesians stuck out a little bit. And so my paradigm shifted, right? I wasn't helping Shaheen. Shaheen was helping me in real ways and challenging what it meant to follow Jesus. And so it's kind of there where at the end of my time, I heard about the CAC and I got to learn more about the reciprocity of ministry and the beauty of being together and in relationship with one another.
So you're now, you weren't married then, but now you're married.
Yeah.
And so you live how close to CAC?
It's a 1 block or a 2 minute walk. And so depending on where you park, you can actually walk faster to the CAC than
yeah.
drive there from our house. So.
And you've been there for about how long?
3.5 years. April 25th, 2014 was my first day. And that was 2 to 3 weeks after Ferguson.
Yeah.
And so that was another instance of what is my response? What do I do? Right. What do I say?
So as you started moving in and connecting in, give us, for those people who have not been a part of CSC,
yeah.
kind of give them a visual, what it looks like when you walk in, you know, what time things start, kind of give a kind of a visual of what it looks like and what it feels like. Maybe.
Yeah. So we have 303 active students, which means they come visit us throughout the month. We have a daily average around 80 to 120 kids, sometimes even 150 kids. And so from there, they enter in, and there's a bell that rings, and so they rotate from meals to reading to math to STEM to recreation to mixed martial arts to French and Spanish to Mandarin, Korean, and Japanese to devotions, to drums, to praise dance, and so there's just a wealth of people that get to teach these things and learn these things with the kids, which is, it's a lot of fun.
And so as far as how, kind of the, if you would give this, if you say the bread and butter of CSC, the what we really see that is our target, mm-hmm. and kind of like what is the baseline saying, this is what we're really after. These are why how we feel like what we want to accomplish by being there.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you a bunch of awesome statistics that 60% of our kids are at or above reading level. I can tell you that out of our kids that have faced various types of abuse, whether that's physical, emotional, verbal abuse, that out of our one-on-one meetings, that 78% of our kids increase their emotional, social wellness by 50% or more. And so there's this deep healing in the midst of trauma. We know that there's people that are highly educated, that are playing professional sports, that have this amazing resume, but they haven't addressed the trauma that they experienced. And so we see real healing come from that. But really, the CAC's foundation is the gospel, and that our kids are loved, and that every day we get to speak into who they are, right? And so when you see a kid, you get to say, man, you are funny, or Viantre, you don't care who they are, what they look like, you're going to engage and interact and be excited about anybody that comes through those doors, mm-hmm. right? And so you get to pour meaning into the kids, and you get to give them the words that they will judge all other words by, right? Mm-hmm. And so in a world that's so inundated with words, we get to encourage our kids in the word, mm-hmm. and then they can reflect on which words hold true. So
what are the things that Chet emphasizes? Chet's been there for how long now?
So Chet came in January of 1989, so it'll be 30 years in a year.
Yeah. So CAC has been there for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was talking with Chet, and I may have referred to this before, but I remember just looking at him, and I just was, a couple things that stood out to me is it was like the order, I mean, it's kind of crazy chaos, but it still has, you can tell it's really hitting the mark, and I'm looking at it, and I'm looking around at kindergarten to 18-year-olds, sometimes 150 people in the smaller, all these different places, and there's glass windows with no bars, and there's no graffiti, mm-hmm. there's not a security guard, yeah. And I mean, honestly, I don't care where you're at, that's a lot of kids, mm-hmm. and I mean, I remember just asking about that, and describe how that has happened.
Yeah, anytime you're in a neighborhood for that long, relationships form. And people know your hearts, and you know people's hearts. And so Chet, as you mentioned, was one of the first Baptist missionaries that owned a brothel bar, and one of the, right, where our playground now is. And he was, he organized a gang summit to where the competing gangs in the neighborhood left that area to be a safe haven for the kids. And that's based on our care and knowledge of kids and their needs. And so we know that kids need two things. Kids need to know that they're seen, that someone delights in them, that someone cares for them. And that's really obvious, right? When they want to show you something, they say, watch me.
Yeah.
And so you watch them for a little bit, but then you're talking like, no, Mr. Matt, you got to watch me, right? Look how fast I am. Look how strong I am. I made this.
Yeah.
For a while, we had a chef from the military teach our kids how to cook. And so they got to cook and taste and see that it was good and then share the goodness. And Mr. Matt, I made this and I love to eat it.
Right.
So that they're seen, that they're known, that someone truly delights in them. And then also that who's in charge. And kids need healthy boundaries. And if you're paying attention and listening, you'll see them try to test where the boundaries actually are, right? So that's something that we get to emphasize and care about and see kids. And so we're thankful for that opportunity.
Yeah, when I was talking to Chet, I remember I was fascinated, and I asked how there could be such unity race-wise and with such and he looked at me, and if it had been anybody else, I don't know if I could have taken him, but someone who'd been there 30 years, he looked at me and he says, David, it's the gospel. And I could tell it wasn't just a thing he said. He's saying, you don't understand, basically what God was saying to me, I didn't realize I don't understand the depths of the gospel. The gospel levels the field, right? Completely levels the field. And that's what you feel. It's all level field. So for you personally, Matt, you've been there for 3.5 years. You've had to have gone through lots of stuff, just paradigm shifts and learning things. So describe what God's done in you, things that have happened to you that have been significant.
Yeah, God has a lot of work to do in me still. Kind of with the understanding of our interactions, Mother Teresa says it, that we need the poor a lot more than the poor need us. And so one of my favorite stories is, first story, I get in there and I'm the chaplain, and there's kind of a long period of time when there was no chaplain, so there's kind of confusion into what my role was or how it played out. I remember one day preparing the Moses in the burning bush story, and we were going to take off our shoes, and we had something all set up, and after that kind of failed in my own mind of what I thought it would look like, I remember going outside with the kids and how excited they were that I pushed them on the swing, right? And so there's something like, oh, my job right now is to get to know their names and to push them on the swing. Like, okay, God, right? And so it was really humbling. And the second story is we go to Camp Penuel, which is a week-long church camp in Ironton, Missouri. And so it's here where we get to see the stars. It's here where we get to go on nature hikes. It's here where we get to jump in the pool. It's here where we get to do the little water slide and crafts and devotions. And it's an awesome week. And if you want to come, it's the last week of June. We're looking for counselors to transport kids and to get to go down water slides and swim and all those things. And so it was here that Josiah Daniels, who was a third grader at this time, he came up to me and said, "Mr. Matt, do you love me?" I was like, yeah, Josiah, I love you. All right, I love you. Didn't think anything of it. The week goes on, and he comes and approaches me again, and he says, "Mr. Matt, do you love me?" And now I'm like, oh, no. Like, I said something. I mean mugged him. I did something wrong. And I'm like, Josiah, why are you asking this? Like, of course I love you, right? And I don't think anything of it because I'm slower than the normal person. And it takes a third encounter, and some of you guys know where I'm going. You've been in the Gospel of John recently. And it's after we're swimming at the YMCA, and I'm right behind the driver's seat of the school bus. And I'm sitting next to Josiah. And we're driving from North St. Louis YMCA, and we're eating candy. And he says, "Mr. Matt, do you love me?" And I, at that time, I didn't realize that he had asked me that several times. And I said, "Josiah, yes, I love you," right? And so we enjoyed our candy. And it took a couple of weeks or months for me to realize that that was Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me?" And if you know that story, you know that Jesus tasks Peter with taking care of the sheep and feeding the flock. And so here in the eyes of Josiah, I see the eyes of Christ, and I realize, oh man, like that's my duty. I have to take care of the sheep and the flock. And so there's stories all throughout that I'm reminded through the kids of what it means to follow Jesus. Yeah. And so when I'm hungry, they want to pray. Right? When I want to play basketball, they want to read the scriptures. you know, and so I'm reminded, and I tell people that I'm really the smartest person in here in some ways because I've surrounded myself with 300 kids that care about my soul. I'm surrounding myself with 300 kids that want to pray for me and care about me, and I got a Christmas card with some chess pieces on it. We're the king's servants, and I'm the coach there. And it said, "Mr. Matt, I hope you have a great Christmas, and I hope you make good decisions." I'll see you in a little bit, right? So, thank you, Azelle, for making sure I make good decisions. So,
just in closing, when I go CAC, there's, you know, the reality of it. I can tell, and not I feel stirred. I can tell that you're seeing clearer than I am in this area. You and Chet and the volunteers and the staff there are seeing clearer than I am. And I think that's really what we're talking about in this series, is open your eyes to be able to see more clearly who God sees and see in the way he sees them. And so for someone like me, you know, for like us, what helps in that? Like, what have you found just watching people? Because you're so gracious but knowing that process, because you're like you say, you went through it yourself. What would you say? Is there anything you can think of to help us?
It can feel like a whirlwind. I think the richest place a person can be in is a place of, I think you talked about it last week. I listened a little bit of the sermon, but humility. And making sure that you go to those places, talk to those people, right? I remember going to a conference in Chicago, and it's called Legacy. If you have a weekend in July, you should go. But it's all the people that have been practitioners in the city, people that are mainstream artists like Lecrae and Andy Mineo and Trip Lee and these people that get it and have done it. They said, hey, look back the last month and reflect on who's been at your table. Who have you invited over, right? Look back in your library and look who you're reading, right? What kind of people, what information are you reading? Who's writing those books, right? Where are you spending your time and where are your friendships? And that's been something that our neighbors have been gracious to accept us into the neighborhood. And we have some of the best neighbors and to start those relationships and to get to know each other and have shared story. So that's my encouragement that you jump in and start reflecting and thinking about your life and God is good we'd love to see more faces from the Vineyard. If there's the other thousand that I'm missing, maybe it's a third service, right? invite them too. It's a rich experience to get to see the things the kids see for the first time.
Yeah.
And I could tell you a lot more stories about that. But
thank you, Matt. Yep. I really appreciate you, and it's been so great to hang out with you. So yep. Thanks, man. Okay. All right. You know, just a couple things is that what we've always been talking about, the kids can come on in if they want to. Come on in, kids. And the worship team can come up as well. You know, for us, I think that as a church is that we just know God is always calling us to further out, to go further. We believe God is wanting to get our eyesight better and seeing, because in that we experience God in deeper ways. And the great thing about God is he's tremendously gracious to us. He gives us, he doesn't exasperate us. Whenever he challenges me, I kind of freak out like, oh, I don't think I can, I don't want to change things. And as God begins talking to me, he says, you don't have to change everything. Just start saying yes to what I show you, right? And he leads us and guides us in that. And so all I'd say in that, let me just give you a challenge here. For some reason, my clicker's not working. If you click it back over to the next challenge, I think it's on here. So there we go. The challenge is just come into the world of a child or youth. And really, because they're in a spot that we have authority. They're not seen oftentimes. And so seeing them, listen to them, get to know them, like, you just come to know who they are. And the second thing is, you know, I encourage you to check out CAC. Now, some of you can't do CAC on the tutoring side because it's when you're working and all that, but we're doing a couple things. And if you look in your bulletin, or you can just write it on a piece of paper and put it in the offering box, but there's a place that you can check that says CAC Tour 3-9. That just means we've worked out with Matt where we're going to, at 5 o'clock, you have to get off a little early, but you get there at 5 o'clock. We'll meet in the homework room because they don't have homework on Friday. We'll talk. We'll process. Jeff Duke, Shauna. Who are some people? Raise your hand if you are. Shauna will be helping. Jeff and Susan and Stroms. Stroms around here, back there. And so we have those people there. We'll have a place where we'll kind of go through things. Then we'll just walk around and hang out with the kids and let them hug you and walk around. And you have an hour, you can take off and have dinner, right? So that will be a tour, and if you sign up, it doesn't mean you have to go. It just means we can send you the information, and if you can go, you can go. And tutoring is another thing that we do. And typically tutoring, a lot of times it can be flexibility. We have a lot of clout with CAC. They didn't really have any volunteer program when we started, and we created our own, so we make sure we don't get in their way. We slide in, we slide out. They hardly know we're there, but as long as you're with the Vineyard and approved, you can get in there. But we do that through having you shadow a tutor. So it really just means that you'll shadow somebody and they'll just call you, go down with you, and so you don't have to do it by yourself. And so if you're interested in that, just check that box and you'll have information and you'll be invited to those things, all right? Why don't you stand?